Blog Talk.
Blog Talk Radio Nation. This is LeVar. You are tuned into the Cutting Room Floor on this Tuesday, 24th of May. And as usual, if you are a fan of the show, you can catch us on Facebook at Music Comment Network, Blog Talk Radio, LeVar and Lola. And normally this show airs on Mondays, and of course we were kind of preempted on Monday, so we're actually here tonight. Normally this show follows the pattern of where we'll talk about some of the news stories that don't happen to make the main pages of the news, but there is a lot of news going on tonight, so this will kind of be a hybrid late-night report of some of the top stories that are going on, as well as our normal show. And for those of you who are keeping tabs on the Chicago-Miami playoff game, we'll give you an update on that shortly. There's about less than a minute and a half to go in that game. It's tied at 83. We'll give you a final should that happen while we're on the air. But as I said, one of the stories that we are watching this evening is the weather. And a line of violent thunderstorms, according to the Associated Press this evening, have killed about six in Oklahoma and Kansas, roaring across middle America with tornadoes touching down in Oklahoma and high winds pounding rural Kansas. The high-powered storms arrived as forecast just 2 days after a massive tornado tore through the southwest Missouri town of Joplin. Of course, we know that killed 122 people, and there are still some unaccounted for. Several tornadoes struck Oklahoma City and its suburbs during rush hour, killing at least four people, injuring at least 60 others, including three children, who were in critical condition at last report from the Associated Press. Cherokee Ballard, a spokeswoman for the state medical examiner, said four people died west of Oklahoma City in Canadian County, where a weather monitoring site in El Reno recorded 151-mile-an-hour winds. She did not have any other immediate details about the deaths. In Kansas, police said two people died when high winds threw a tree into their van around 6 o'clock in a small town of St. John, which is about 100 miles west of Wichita. The highway was shut down because of storm damage, and more severe weather was expected after nightfall as the storms continued east, including toward Joplin, Missouri, which is cleaning up from Sunday's storm that was the nation's deadliest twister among records dating as far back as 1840. And, of course, the Storm Prediction Center had warned since the weekend that some of these strong, long-lived tornadoes could hit Oklahoma and adjacent parts of Kansas and Texas. And I will tell you this evening, that line of storms began around 3 o'clock, and as we said, kind of went 40 miles into the state's capital before continuing on towards Tulsa. Oklahoma state offices and many businesses let workers leave hours earlier to get out of harm's way, in that hoping to save lives. I have reports tonight from sources down in Texas that there was what believed to be a tornado as the sirens were going off there, and the Associated Press reporting that storm clouds also spawned funnel clouds and at least one tornado touched down around North Texas, but there were no immediate reports of damage or injuries. Dallas Lovefield spokesman Jose Torres said everyone in and around the airport terminal down there was, quote, moved to a basement beneath the terminal as storms moved through. He said no one reported actually seeing a tornado at the airport. And Rangers Ballpark, where the Chicago White Sox and Texas Rangers were playing, fans were evacuated from the concourse as a precaution as hail fell during a rain delay there. So definitely still a long line of powerful storms that are headed across. And that brings us back to our other story from the Associated Press, and that is what's going on in Joplin, Missouri, as the death toll, as we said, rose to at least 122. Another line of severe thunderstorms spawned tornadoes this evening. Nine survivors had been pulled in the aftermath in Missouri, and researchers fought the clock because anyone still alive after, of course, what we said, deadly a single tornado in 60 years was losing precious strength 2 days after that disaster. Tuesday, the National Weather Service announced the twister that crippled Joplin was an EF5. And if you are familiar with the rating assigned to a or two tornadoes, it's the strongest rating sign that you can possibly go. That has normally winds of more than 200 miles an hour. Scientists said it appeared to be a rare multi-vex tornado with two or more small and intense centers of rotation orbiting in the larger funnel. It was the deadliest single twister since the National Weather Service began keeping official records in 1950, and the eighth deadliest in U.S. history. Authorities are also saying that an estimated 750 people were hurt, and an unknown number were still unaccounted for. Authorities are, of course, reluctant to declare a specific number tonight. And according to city manager, he said that does not mean they are injured or deceased. It means that loved ones are not aware of their whereabouts, explaining that many had probably left the area without telling family members. Another top job was testing the city's tornado sirens to make sure that they were operable ahead of another round today, as well as this storm that's expected to go from Tuesday evening into Wednesday in some places. And national emergency officials are warning residents well in advance of that test, trying to get them out of there. And throughout that search, there has been new reports emerged of clusters of victims. 11 people were dead in a nursing home. 3 bodies were found at Elks Lodge. The tornado tossed 3 vehicles into what was the Greenbrier Nursing Home and left nothing more than a 10-foot section of the interior wall standing. And on the night of the twister, the Elks Lodge, where we said there were 3 bodies were found, had been scheduled to host its weekly bingo game. And had it been 2 or more hours later, according to a hospital lab technician, it could have been at least 40 or 50 people in there. So authorities have announced a curfew from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. with only residents and emergency workers allowed inside the disaster zone. The one thing about this, too, with these storms is that people in that area have turned to online social networks to find family members missing. A lot of stories, and I'm reading a few of them off of the website here, of people who are looking for people. I think there was one story where a couple was looking for their 15-month-old son, and you just hope that in something like this that they're where there's dark clouds, that there is a bright story and that he's somewhere with someone safe and sound. And we'll definitely be watching this throughout the next few days. I know the president is scheduled to visit there, I believe, in the next few days. I think on Sunday. Right now he is overseas. Taking a look, too, at some of the world news going on. We talked about the president being overseas, but meanwhile here, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told a cheering U.S. Congress on Tuesday that he was willing to make, quote, painful compromises for peace with the Palestinians, but he offered little concrete to entice Palestinians back to the bargaining table. By giving such a high-profile speech before overwhelmingly supportive U.S. lawmakers, Netanyahu was able to demonstrate to Israelis that he retained strong backing in the United States despite his frosty relations with the president. And he also moved the needle on territorial compromise for the first time, explicitly stating in his address that Israel would not have to give up some of the West Bank settlements. And that has definitely been one of the top world stories going on the last few weeks. And, of course, Netanyahu, who came into the U.S. in a fighting mood even before he landed with some of the president's remarks last week, had challenged the president's position in ignoring the president's assertion that the territorial markers could be adjusted through mutually agreed land swaps. And in his speech today, he backed off from that dispute, acknowledging that the president had not called for a return to Israel's pre-war borders. And Israeli officials said that it was because the president sharpened his position on the matter, so it was possible for Netanyahu to feel he could ease the assault because of the tremendous outpouring of support that he's received. Taking a look at some of the business news on this day, continued worries about Europe's lingering debt crisis overshadowed a small rebound in oil prices and pushed stocks slightly lower on Tuesday. Oil rose $2 to $99.59 a barrel after major banks raised their forecast for crude prices. Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, and Morgan Stanley analysts predicted a rise in global demand would drive oil prices higher later this year. Goldman analysts say oil prices could reach $135 a barrel by the end of 2012. Stocks swung between gains and losses throughout the day, with Chevron Corporation and other energy companies posting the largest gains. Energy companies in the S&P 500 rose 1.3%, but most of the 10 industry groups in the index. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 25 points, or 2%, 0.2%, to close at 12,356.21. The Standard & Poor's 500 index fell 1.09 to 13,16.28, and the NASDAQ Composite fell 12.74, or 0.5%, to 27,46.16. And the markets faced more troubling news about Europe on Tuesday when Greece's main opposition party said it opposed the government's latest attempts to reduce debt. The news further dampened hopes that the country might be able to repair its finances enough to get another loan package from the International Monetary Fund. Here in Chicago, in the end, it was just Oprah. The final episode of the Oprah Winfrey Show, which will air tomorrow, and it seems like it's been such a long week of tributes and everything else, it taped here this evening in Chicago. And according to people there, the talk show queen appeared alone on her Chicago stage talking to viewers about what they meant to her during the show's 25-year run. Fans leaving Tuesday's taping said Winfrey had tears in her eyes as television icon said a final thank you. And she said, "This isn't goodbye. This is until we meet again." And now I can just tell you some breaking news here. Derrick Rose put up a shot here. It looked to go in, but it does not look to fall. I think they're going to take a look at it as they go in the regulation here. I think it did happen, and it's now tied at 85. But getting back to the story here, that Winfrey then kissed and hugged her longtime partner, Stedman Graham, and made her way through the halls of Harpo Studios saying goodbye to her staff. And she kept saying, we did it," and giving employees high fives. So you can catch that in syndication tomorrow. And I can tell you now that shot by Derrick Rose was actually a game tire. So it's into regulation going into overtime, tied at 85. And I guess I want to get to you about another story, too, that's out there. And it's a news story, but I think I told you that it was going to be a part of my special commentary tonight. The story involved this past weekend, and the evangelical Christian broadcaster, whose much ballyhooed Judgment Day prophecy went conspicuously unfulfilled on Saturday, had a simple explanation for what went wrong. He miscalculated. Instead of the world physically coming to an end on May 21st with a great cataclysmic earthquake as he had predicted, the 89-year-old Harold Camping said he now believes his forecast is playing out, quote, spiritually, with the actual apocalypse set to occur 5 months later on October 21st. And he had been quiet for some time, and the headquarters of his family radio network of 66 U.S. stations had been shuttered over the weekend with a sign on the door that said, "The office is closed. Sorry, we missed you." And today, during a sometimes rambling 90-minute discourse that included a question-and-answer session with reporters, Campy said he felt bad that Saturday had come and gone without the rapture he had felt so certain would take place. In reflecting on Scripture afterwards, Campy called it dawned on him that a merciful and compassionate God would spare humanity from hell on earth for 5 months by compressing the physical apocalypse into a shorter time frame. But he insisted that October 21st has always been the end point of his own times chronologically, or at least his latest chronologically. And, you know, I know we're not to go into whatever we go into, but I think the one thing about this story that kind of gets me a little bit more is the fact that there were a lot of people, and it happens with every religion or every going on that we have, but there were a lot of people who put their life savings into what this man had said, only for him to come out and then say it was a miscalculation. This isn't the first miscalculation, and I think it's why, you know, it is so unbelievable what people will actually believe or fall for. And you know, you could believe it, I could believe it or not believe it, which I don't, and I'll tell you that now. But I always thought that if there was going to be an end of the world, I don't think that it would be delivered through, you know, a person who would actually know. And I don't know if I'm pretty much alone on that one or not, but to Harold Camping, I would say if there were a lot of people that put money with you, and of course no one is saying how much his church made, even though they said that they made somewhere upwards of millions of dollars last year. And he is now kind of backing off the belief of people who put all this money into this belief by saying that, of course, I've kept mine, but of course you can keep yours when your followers pay to help support your cause. So I would say this to the Reverend Camping, so it speaks. If you are who you say you are, then I would say put your money where your mouth is and actually give back some of the money that your followers or their life savings that they actually invested into your message. Help them back out because they actually helped to spread your word. If you are a man of faith like you say you are. So I would hope that somewhere along that line that all that money that the church took in would actually be put back into a trust for those people, those who were silly enough to actually put their money behind what this was. Because now a lot of those people are out in the streets and left with nothing but a belief that it could be 5 more months down the line. And if it doesn't happen again soon, what other story do you have? You were wrong in 94, and you were wrong now. So I would say, if you are who you are, then help them out. And that's the only commentary I'm going to have about that today. A couple other stories that we're looking at here today. Interesting note. There, I guess in this age of where we're kind of going with trying to go small, if you recall a few years back, we were going large size. And when you went to McDonald's, we had, the extra super size, fries, and then they kind of, got a little guilty about it and actually went back to just large. They didn't say, after the whole super size me type of thing. But American restaurants, and this is from Bloomberg News Business Week, but American restaurants, infamous for dishing out a day's worth of calories in a single meal, are now selling cheaper, trimmed-down portions to snag calorie-conscious customers. But the small is always just a little bit too much, according to a couple of business experts here. And one of the people who is really taking this whole line of it lately is Dairy Queen. And if you haven't seen some of the commercials, they now have their quote-unquote just-right snacks shake sizes. And they've also got these brand-new 12-ounce size blizzards and milkshakes. And they are saying, according to the chief brand officer, Dairy Queen, consumers are willing to pay a little bit of premium for the mini blizzard. And surging ingredient costs are putting restaurant margins under increasing pressure. And a lot of these folks are saying that in this rush to get all of this stuff out, a lot of people are paying almost double from what they probably would be paying for the regular with this new one. So, I mean, it's kind of an interesting thing. I'd say when you go to check it out, do the study for yourself. But the restaurants are following the lead of food makers who debuted that concept, I think, almost 7 years ago with those 100-calorie snack packs. And so now, a lot of them are trying to pack in less calories per day, which is actually a good thing. You can't go nowhere but up on that. So it's actually pretty good. So hopefully a lot more restaurants will start to get a little bit more in tune and in line with that. And also, here's a study for guys out there. This is from Health Day News. Are you the type of man who enjoys going to concerts, art galleries, in the theater? I know a lot of guys are probably going to say no, but if you are, here's some good news. A new Norwegian study suggested you are more likely to enjoy life and be in better health than those you don't. Now, both men and women who engaged in sports, religious, and cultural events reported better health and satisfaction with life than those who were less engaged. But men especially saw benefits. Men who attended cultural activities, now guys, we're not saying go to, a strip club, I guess you can count that as a cultural activity. Men who attended cultural activities were 9% more likely to report being in good health than men who didn't attend, while women who attended cultural activities were 3% more likely to report good health. Now, the men who attended those cultural activities were also 14% more likely to say that they were satisfied with life, 13% less likely to have anxiety, and 12% less likely to be depressed. And women also saw benefits, though they were less pronounced. And according to the author, Kiernard Kolbers, who's a research fellow at the Norwegian University of Science and Technology, he states that those who took part in the activities, either as a viewer or a participant, were more likely to report better and health satisfaction with life and lower anxiety and depression than those who didn't participate. And that study results were held up even when researchers adjusted for factors that could influence the results, such as age, chronic disease, exercise, smoking, alcohol use, social and economic status, and body mass index. So, but the interesting thing on that one, that some of the men here, on the other hand, are women who participated in clubs or associations, music, singing, dancing, attending the theater, working out, or doing sports and enjoying outdoor activities, was associated with good or very good health. And men, on the other hand, engaging in parish religious activities were associated with good to very good health, along with participating in associations and what we kind of just talked about with that. So that study is out now from the Health Day News. So, ladies, if you're looking to get your men to actually go with you to that concert or the art gallery or the theater, tell him it will be a little bit more healthier for him should he go. Just a quick hit there. Sorry, guys. And taking a look at this week in entertainment, in theaters, The Hangover Part 2 opens up on Thursday ahead of the Memorial Day holiday weekend, that's expected to probably be the top movie at the box office. They've been doing enough advertising on this, along with, you know, a lot of appearances from the cast of The Hangover in the last few weeks. And Kung Fu Panda 2 also opens up on Friday. New Music Tuesday, if you were actually out and about, opening up, coming to your DVD stand, is a DVD of The Royal Wedding. So if you didn't have enough of that, the BBC is out with the complete highlights of The Royal Wedding. The cartoon, or I guess we'll call it a cartoon, Romeo and Juliet, also out today. The movie I Am Number 4, the Disney movie Lemonade Mouth, and if you're a big fan of 80s cartoons, the Transformers, the complete series, came out on DVD today as well. New Music Tuesday saw Lady Gaga's Born This Way album out, and Lady Gaga has been definitely doing a lot of press junket for this. She was on The Late Show with David Letterman last night and will be making a couple of more big appearances on TV this week. Glee the Music Volume 6 also out. Brad Paisley's This Is Country Music album is out. MMG presents Self-Made Volume 1. And for all of you New Kids on the Block and Backstreet Boys fans, they've been out on the road, I think, now almost like a couple of years. And they are out with a dual album that just hit the store shelves today. And, of course, it's simply entitled NKOTBSB. So, yes, if you're a fan and you're humming the right stuff, or I Want It That Way, or guess that was Backstreet Boys, they're actually out with that today as well. But that is pretty much, and I didn't think I'd be done this soon with a lot of stuff, and we're actually still following here in overtime, the Bulls Heat game. That's about less than 2 minutes to go, Bulls down by two, and if they lose this, they would trail that series 3-1 with that coming back to Chicago. So we'll probably have an update for you on that in just a minute, but wanted to take some time out to talk to all of you about what's going on. The last couple of weeks we've kind of been off and on here and out and about, and I just want to say thank you for all of you who have supported us on our Facebook page. Tell a friend. We are actually been working on some things, and I'm actually working on expanding, as we've always said, this series of shows out a little bit more. But I know I've always asked about the schedule of our shows. Unless things are preempted, Monday will be the day that we usually have the Cutting Room Floor. Fridays are the days that we usually have Eye on Hollywood, which is our weekly look at Hollywood and all of what's going on. And I know we haven't been on the last couple of weeks, and this whole thing with Arnold Schwarzenegger has been going down. And you know, it's times like this where I wish we were kind of back on, but we will definitely be around this Friday to talk about everything that's going on. A lot of breaking stories, of course. There's a lot of pictures, too, and I wish we could always put pictures, which we probably will, too, on our website. But if you haven't seen Lindsay Lohan, she's been out and about and actually had a couple of pictures make the Internet interesting pictures this weekend. And as always, we get our news from the various sources, such as TMZ or Media Takeout, and you can always go there, too, to find out the latest of what's going on. But we will definitely let you know when our shows do air, and we will always have the link on our Facebook page, and I'm trying to be good with Twitter, too, as we do have a Twitter page at twitter.com/4 Eye on Hollywood. And like I said, tell a friend, and we're hoping to really grow this out and be a little bit more interactive with you, the listener, in mind. And I've actually been thinking back and forth, and I guess I want to get the feedback of the Facebook Nation as well, and that is having actually a Wednesday show, unless we are get preempted by the 411 Lounge or any of our other interview shows, but having a weekly show based off of lifestyle and relationships. I know a lot of time we'll take time out on Monday to talk about that with the Cutting Room Floor, but I wanted to give it its own special package, its own special show. We're still working on sports, which we will probably do more towards a commentary slash sports-based show, which will probably be sometime on the weekend. So definitely check back with that. But I want to get your opinion out there, Blog Talk Radio Nation. If you do listen, what type of show would you like to have us do? Of course, we do the Eye on Hollywood, and of course, sometimes I will be back with news and then general with the Cutting Room Floor, the 411 Lounge. But know, we really would like your feedback and comments and suggestions, and we do appreciate them if you just leave it on our page here at Blog Talk Radio, or if you leave it on our page. So with that, we've got 5 minutes to go, or actually now 4 minutes to go, but I know enough about me. But I will once again thank you, each and every one of you, for listening. And, of course, as always, like I said, for the latest of what's going on with our shows, you will find that out on our website at Blog Talk Radio, our News and Comment Network, Blog Talk Radio, LeVar and Lola on Facebook. So until next we meet, this is LeVar saying thank you so much, and see you soon.